Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Imagine, if you will, Christopher Columbus.
Nice. I have a holiday. Well, caramba.
Obviously, that's not really Columbus. This is a cartoon Columbus. He's got electric blue eyes and a big toothy grin. He's a character in a 13-minute video called Leo and Layla Meet Christopher Columbus. John Neffel of Media Matters recently watched it for work.
So he starts off telling the kids this sort of justification for Columbus's treatment of the indigenous people.
Cannibals? Like they
eat people. See.
Whoa.
Right? Hey, all the things that are bad in the world I come from, jealousy, lying, murder, war, it all exists in the land I just found too. But in Europe, we draw the line at things like eating people and human sacrifice.
And one of the lines that this fictional Columbus character says is that slavery existed everywhere. It's clearly designed to be exculpatory towards the history of slavery in the United States and Europe more broadly.
Slavery is as old as time and has taken place in every corner of the world, even amongst the people I just left. Being taken as a slave is better than being killed, no? I don't see the problem.
Well, in our
modern scholarship, including for elementary school kids, says that this is not the full story, that there's a much more complicated and rich history here. And the PragerU kids' response to that is, no, there's not.
You won't find these cartoons on Netflix or Disney Plus. They were made by PragerU Kids, a subsidiary of a conservative advocacy group called PragerU. Despite the name, it's unaccredited. That means not a university. Prager has produced hundreds of what it calls edutainment videos. That's like a cross between education and entertainment, only these are for kids. One features Booker T. Washington comforting white children.
Future generations are never responsible for the sins of the past.
Okay, I'll keep doing my best to treat everyone well and won't feel guilty about historical stuff.
Good.
One tackles the evils of Canada's universal health care.
They've been convinced that it's better that way. But is that really the case?
One even compares denying climate change to fighting the Nazis.
Through her family's stories, Anya is realizing that fighting oppression is risky, and that it always takes courage.
That one really bothered John.
This is obviously completely ideologically motivated right-wing propaganda to tell kids that if you embrace climate denialism and your peers or your instructors tell you, hey, that's not really scientifically accurate, that you are somehow engaged in this proud tradition of fighting back against Nazism and fascism and totalitarian thinking. And that's just so obviously preposterous that when we watched it, we were really kind of shocked at how blatant it was.
PragerU has been around since 2009, but they're going mainstream. Recently, its materials were approved for use in Florida public schools. And it's not just the videos. They're preparing actual 50-minute lesson plans. And if you didn't pay attention to the actual content, they might seem pretty innocuous, right?
Yeah, and PragerU refers to this curriculum as, quote, turnkey, which is to say that they create it for teachers to just sort of plug and play and to not necessarily supplement it with other materials. It's designed to kind of go down smooth and to mask the ideological project that PragerU is actually pursuing.
Today on the show, the rise of PragerU and the fight to rewrite history. I'm Mary C. Curtis, in for Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
To understand what PragerU is doing, it's important to understand where it came from. The organization was launched and named after Dennis Prager, a conservative writer and media personality. His show, The Dennis Prager Show, has been a mainstay on conservative talk radio for decades. In 2009, Prager decided to branch out into education when he founded PragerU. From the beginning, the U was aspirational.
It's not a university at all, and they acknowledge that on their website. It's not accredited. It's not associated with any institutions that are accredited. It's a conservative nonprofit entertainment organization. The initial plan with his longtime radio producer was to make an actual physical building, an actual school or school-like facility. But they realized pretty early on that that was going to be prohibitively expensive. There were going to be all sorts of hoops to jump through, like hiring faculty. And that was maybe even going to potentially limit their reach. So in 2011, this is right at the kind of height of the digital media boom, Prager and his associates realize, what's the point of making a physical building when you can just make 5-minute videos? And so they start releasing these 5-minute videos that target what they would say from their perspective are excessive woke ideology on college campuses or PC culture.
Congratulations, graduates. Your days of indoctrination and wokeism are behind you. Your worries about being graded down because you wouldn't say America is systemically racist, over. Your fears that you'd be...
So do we know just what kind of reach the PragerU videos have had? How many people have viewed them?
One of the things that PragerU was very skilled at early on was writing YouTube algorithms for views. And so they have had a very, very large response on YouTube and Facebook. By 2019, PragerU had 2.45 billion views across YouTube and Facebook. That number is certainly larger now. What's interesting is that PragerU, like many in the conservative media realm, claim that they've been censored by YouTube and Facebook, but the institution has racked up billions and billions of views across social media.
PragerU is a nonprofit, and since the beginning, it has relied on donations. They receive some smaller scale contributions, but a sizable chunk of their funding comes from deep-pocketed conservative donors.
Their initial funding comes from Dan and Ferris Wilkes, who are brothers who became multi-billionaires in hydrofracking. That helps to explain partially why so much of PragerU's curriculum embraces climate denialism, is because their early major funders were fracking industrialists. PragerU also got a massive early donation from the Bradley Foundation, which is a very prominent right-wing charity. And over the course of the 2000s, PragerU brings on all of these really prominent conservative talking heads, people like Ben Shapiro.
Corporations spend millions on useless diversity compliance officers.
People like Candace Owens.
I was discussing the tendency in Black America for us to uplift criminals, to pretend that they are heroes and martyrs when they die at the hand of white individuals.
They bring in Tucker Carlson, who cuts an anti-immigrant video for them.
Cesar Chavez hated illegal immigration.
Yeah, I've seen some of those, and it wasn't for younger kids. It was more aimed at college-age students and young adults, right?
Exactly. The target of those were sort of younger millennials, college-age students, high school students who PragerU thought maybe were rebelling against liberal parents or liberal instructors or something like that. And throughout the 2010s, PragerU is trying to get into public schools. They're having some success. The American Prospect reported in 2018 that some instructors had played PragerU videos for students, but that those teachers had been criticized by their students and sometimes faced sanctions. And so what PragerU is trying to do over the course of this decade is figure out a way to get into classrooms, not only at the college and high school level, but then increasingly at the elementary school level as well.
That's where PragerU Kids comes in. Prager began releasing videos, often cartoons, tailored for a younger audience.
Some long-held Hindu traditions, however, became controversial when the British Empire ruled India. This Western influence helped transform the country in many positive ways.
On their website, PragerU describes the series as a way to combat the, quote, woke agendas infiltrating classrooms, culture, and social media.
There's, of course, this huge right-wing reaction to COVID safety precautions. There is a sustained right-wing attack on teachers' unions. And in 2021, PragerU launches PragerU Kids. And it's because they feel like the moment is right. There's this sort of burgeoning, what's referred to euphemistically as the parents' rights movement. And PragerU emerges kind of alongside other extremist groups like Moms for Liberty.
What exactly was the goal of this content when it was created? Do we know where Dennis Prager intended for these videos to be shown and what purpose they were designed for? Was he waiting for this moment?
Well, there's a great quote from Dennis Prager himself. Just last month, he was at a conference that Moms for Liberty held. And at this conference in Philadelphia, he said that it's a, quote, fair statement to say that PragerU indoctrinates children.
All I heard was, well, because you indoctrinate kids, and which is true. We bring doctrines to children. That's a very fair statement. I said, but what is the bad of our indoctrination?
They've always tried to talk out of both sides of their mouth at PragerU, where on the one hand, they say this is kind of non-ideological programming. This is pro-America, trying to downplay the ideological project. But then when Dennis Prager himself, and especially with the launch of PragerU Kids, he and his executives have been explicitly clear that this is meant to be shown in classrooms. And they want to have protection from Florida and from the Florida Department of Education that this is acceptable, so that even if parents do push back, then PragerU can say that we have the entire DeSantis apparatus behind us.
After the break, now that PragerU is in Florida schools, what comes next?
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, Cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queen say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
Last month, the Prager CEO posted a video announcing that PragerU Kids was officially a vendor for Florida Public Schools.
Friends, I'm ecstatic to make this groundbreaking announcement. PragerU is now making it into schools. We have seen that our schools have been hijacked by the left. They have been.
She touted how easy it would be for teachers to adopt the curriculum.
This means that if you are a teacher in Florida, you cannot be fired for using PragerU content. You can also rely on our resources in your classrooms. And we are just getting started. Additional states are
signed. At the time, not many people knew that this decision had been in the works. So I asked John what we know about how exactly this partnership came together.
The behind the scenes is a little bit opaque, but what we do have comes mostly from a recent Miami Herald report on the back and forth. The CEO of PragerU said the state did not approach us. She says, quote, "I would say we got to know each other through mutual friends," end quote. So exactly what that meeting of the minds looked like is unclear, but from that same Miami Herald reporting, we know that Ron and Casey DeSantis apparently show their kids PragerU materials. And we know that the Florida Education Commissioner Manny Diaz and the K-12 Chancellor Paul Burns are both very, very close DeSantis acolytes. And I think that the obvious play here from PragerU is to use this approval to confer a degree of legitimacy on PragerU that it doesn't deserve.
It's really concerning how young of an audience these videos could reach. So I imagine parents in Florida might be worried about their kindergartners watching videos that present warped views of slavery and race. And these kids are really kind of young to understand and scrutinize what they're being shown.
Well, the goal of targeting kindergartners, first graders, second graders, is to get these kids early and to define these issues for them, or at the very least, to create enough confusion where they might just sort of internalize this phrase, well, slavery has always been everywhere. And internalizing, a complete distortion and manipulation of history like that at a young age is incredibly difficult to dislodge later on.
And as shocking as some of these videos are, isn't the fact that they're being allowed in Florida not really a surprise? It's pretty on brand for Governor Ron DeSantis and how he's waged this battle with Florida schools. The revised curriculum standards we see that enslaved people were taught skills that benefited them later on, the rejection of the AP African American Studies class as lacking educational value. How does PragerU fit into the bigger picture of what's going on in Florida right now?
It's absolutely one arrow in the quiver that you just laid out. And what's so important to understand is that it doesn't end just with K through 12, but we've also seen DeSantis initiate this hostile takeover of New College of Florida, which was really this bastion of liberal arts, education, tolerance. And DeSantis earlier this year announced that he was going to appoint several new members to the board of trustees of New College, including Christopher Rufo, who listeners may remember as a notorious anti-civil rights activist who's responsible for creating the false panic around so-called critical race theory being taught in schools. And so DeSantis putting Chris Rufo in at the board of trustees at New College has completely changed the character of the school. There's new administration now. You have faculty leaving in droves. And that is an extension of the exact same kind of attacks that we're seeing at the K through 12 level. And PragerU Kids is one very clear and very alarming aspect of that trend.
I want to tag on something you just said, because he says he wants parental rights and he wants to stop indoctrination. But these videos seem like pretty clear indoctrination. You've said that Prager has admitted as much. And if it's parental rights, there obviously are some parents who don't like it. So what does that say?
You're absolutely right that parental rights has always been a code word, a kind of dog whistle for certain parents have parental rights and other parents have zero rights. And what we know from the way that this is playing out is that if you are a Black parent, if you are a trans parent, if you are the parent of a trans child, then you don't have rights. Your parental rights don't matter. And that if you are a white suburban upper middle class parent who doesn't want their kid to be taught about slavery and Jim Crow and the ways that the past continues to order the present, that if you are that parent, you have all the rights in the world.
Yeah, indoctrination is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
Now that PragerU has made it into Florida public schools, where are they heading next?
We don't know what's next for them yet. You could certainly imagine a host of potential states that might be friendly ground for them. You could certainly imagine Greg Abbott in Texas being a kind of soft target for them, potentially someone like Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, whose gubernatorial run in 2021 really kind of encapsulated a lot of this parental rights stuff that we've been talking about. And unfortunately, these conservative organizations see an opening that they are looking to exploit while it exists. I think that the public writ large does not want this type of programming and curriculum, but there's no question that these right-wing organizations see an opportunity and are striking while the iron's hot.
It's interesting too, because so much of the public school population, they're children of color getting these messages. And I'm looking down the road and seeing that the kind of education your child receives may depend upon where the child lives. So there won't be a common understanding of American history, American culture. Is that alarmist?
Not at all. I think that the goal of PragerU Kids is to do things as radical as redefine the history of the Civil War. One of the videos where the kids travel back and talk to Booker T. Washington, the fictionalized Booker T. Washington refers to the Civil War in the passive voice, and he says that hundreds of thousands of men gave their lives in a war that resulted in my freedom. Now, if that's what you learn about the Civil War, that enslaved people were sort of a passive non-factor in it, and that there's no distinction between the Union and the Confederacy, which is what this lesson teaches, you are getting a completely distorted version of U.S. history. And if you learn later on that, in fact, enslaved people were the primary drivers of their emancipation, and if you learn later on that the Union Army defeated the Confederacy, whose goal was to maintain chattel slavery at all costs, that's completely destabilizing, and it's impossible to understand the inheritances of slavery and Jim Crow and redlining and discrimination and all the rest of it without grappling with history and grapple with how the past continues to determine how the present manifests.
Thank you, John Neffel, for coming on What Next?
Thank you so much for having me.
John Neffel is a senior writer for Media Matters for America. That's the show. If you're a fan of What Next, the best way to support our work is to join Slate Plus. Go to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. What Next is produced by Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Anna Phillips, Paige Osborne, and Madeline Ducharme. We're led by Alicia Montgomery with a little help from Susan Matthews. Ben Richman is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary C. Curtis, columnist at Roll Call and host of its Equal Time podcast. You can find me on Twitter at mcurtisnc3. Thanks for listening.
It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.